I know. I left the city, I've been browsing. Treading water that they drowning. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings. Hello and welcome to episode 216 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. It is fresh off the combine. We want to bring you guys the winners, the losers, the prospects you should be looking at, you know, things that we reaffirmed what we already said, some guys that we were really shocked by. Nobody better than my main man, Snoog. Let's break it down today, brother.
What is that, like the best combine I've ever watched? Damn shame Brock Bowers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Malik Nabers didn't participate in it. Because that was entertaining. I rewatched that combine like four times already. And man, Xavier Worthy, Dad. We've been talking about him for a while. 4-2-1 record breaking 40. Did you expect that going into this? Or is that something where you're like, yeah, he was fast. It doesn't change my mind. I still know what he's capable of.
I mean, we knew he was going to be fast. I was thinking it was going to be in the 4.34 range. You know what I mean? When he comes out, maybe might push 4.31, like up towards that area. When he hit 4.2, you're like, that is just insane speed on another level, you know? And I'm glad we brought him up already because, you know, everyone seems to right now want to just comp everybody to something else. You know, you're like, oh, well, Xavier Worthy is this size and ran this speed. He's John Ross. He is not John Ross. Like, I understand the speed comp and the size, but Xavier Worthy is someone who broke out at 18. He's put up multiple, you know, fantastic seasons at Texas. And now this just reaffirmed what you've been saying. I mean, he's 5'11", 165. That's small. But the way he ran, 41-inch vertical, 10-11 broad jump, I mean, this guy tested as he's going to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL now, and I think this puts us into an area where this is the new NFL. I've been saying it for a lot of times with you as well, where it's like, you know, you look at a Tank Dell, a Jordan Addison, a Josh Downs. Those were all guys that had success last year, taking it under 180 pounds, and I think he's just going to be another guy there. You keep calling him, you know, Xavier Nuance Worthy. But he has to be in that round one conversation. And I think he's going to go a lot earlier than people are willing to admit right now.
I mean, we saw what Henry Ruggs did and went, right? He went pick 12 in an absolute stacked wide receiver class. First off the board, times have changed since then. I mean, it's been 3 years since, 4 years since that happened. The wide receivers are only getting more and more valuable. Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, guys known for their speed and being nuanced as well. Top 12 picks. We go into last year. Weak class, we still get four wide receivers in the early top 20. I truly believe him and another guy we'll talk about shortly are going to be top 20 to top 15 draft picks because you got guys like Denver. If they don't get a quarterback, they're doomed at wideout. It's what they have Sutton and Marvin Mims who didn't pan out how they wanted him to. Then you got the Jags who are out of a wide receiver one. It's Christian Kirk, Zay Jones gone, Calvin Ridley gone. You got the Colts, Pittman might be leaving. You got just Josh Downs there. There are so many teams in that range. The Bengals could look to draft the T. Higgins replacement. The wide receiver position is the second most expensive position in the NFL right now. You have a stacked class where there's a clear five guys, not talent-wise, but ceiling-wise, athletic-wise. You got Brian Thomas, Rome Odunze, Xavier Worthy, Harrison, and Nabers. Like, these guys are all testing off the charts. They're all freak athletes. That type of mold is what the NFL is today now. Like, we saw a guy like Zay Flowers. We saw a guy like Rashee Rice. These are guys that were fourth-year prospects, weren't getting a ton of hype, crushed the combine, stood out athletically, very good early-round pick, second-round pick, first-round pick. Like, this class is going to prove how valuable this wide receiver class and for the future is going to be to the NFL. Like, 4-2-1 speed. And he's good in other areas. Like John Ross, respect to him. He was a college football legend. He didn't do anything until his fourth year in college football. Put up 1,200 yards, and he was in the Pac-12. And this was
his first 3 years, he had 33 receptions total. I mean, yeah, he balled out to another level with like 1,400 yards and 17 touchdowns. But before that, nothing there. Where Xavier Worthy broke out at 18, one of the youngest, if not, I think the youngest breakout age of all wide receivers in this class. And I think, you know, what's amazing about the combine this year is our two favorite prospects, the guys that are going to be wide receiver one, wide receiver two, didn't even perform. You know, and we still have the most athletic wide receiver class that we've ever seen at the combine. They tested out phenomenal. These are guys that are getting ready for, like you said, the new version in the NFL. The question that I keep getting, Snoog, is, you know, we talk about Tank Dell is a really good comp, I think, for Xavier Worthy in some areas. You know what I mean? His size, his ability to get open. Xavier Worthy is someone where if he goes to the right landing spot, I think he blows up. Right. I think he goes. I mean, I obviously wanted him to go to the Bills. He's not going to last all the way to the late 20s. He's going to go somewhere in the teens, in the 20s. Talk to me a little bit about the size worry. Right. Because Tank Dell, I mean, obviously went down to injury. He was on the verge of blowing up. Some of these smaller guys do get banged up. What is it about Xavier Worthy's game that you think translates to the NFL so much better than just a straight speed guy, a straight, you know, a guy that's going? What is he going to bring to an NFL team? And why are you so high on him?
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to talk about the pre-snap motion and how the NFL uses that nowadays to get mismatches in the secondary on linebackers. Xavier Worthy is going to be a matchup nightmare if he falls into the right hands. Shout out my boy JC Dynasty. He's a go-to guy that I like to talk about with prospects. We've been talking about Worthy closely, very much throughout the process. And I said to him the other day, imagine Andy Reid or Mike McDaniels or one of those elite-minded offensive coaches gets their hands on a guy like Xavier Worthy. Like, imagine him in Bobby Slowick's offense. Just look at that picture. Like, look at, he's a chess piece that slots in to a guy that's more than a vertical threat. He's more than the John Ross, right? He's a guy that's nuanced in the short areas. I'm pretty sure most of his targets this year came from behind the line of scrimmage. So if that has anything to tell you, he's good in the vertical game. He's good in the screen game. He's great after the catch. He's a small guy, but he bounces right off contact. I posted that clip of him just absolutely getting rocked by Terrion Arnold, potential first-round pick from Alabama, bounces off him, picks up the first down. We saw that clip. A lot of people have been posting. I think it was against Oregon State. Absolutely trucked that, like, 250-pound linebacker for a touchdown. Like, this kid is not scared of contact. He's going to be used, like I said, in that chess piece way where he slots in and you're getting him. You're moving him around. You're getting the mismatches. You're using him downfield. Pair this guy up with Patty Mahomes and Rashi Rice, and you're going to get the next, not Tyreek Hill, but you're going to get a guy that's in that Chris Olave, winning downfield, good in the intermediate game. So everyone's going to tell you he's Tyreek Hill because of how fast he is. There's no Tyreek Hill. He's no generational player. But Xavier Worthy, man, top five wide receiver in this class.
Well, to your point, I mean, if you look at it, Xavier Worthy broke 31 tackles on 196 receptions throughout college. I mean, he is someone that can break tackles. You know, he 7.3 yards after reception. He's someone that makes things happen. Absolutely. I just wanted to get your take on that because I keep getting people who are like, well, you know, I really love Tank Dell during the process and he's that kind of size. And the flip side of that, that was the biggest winner for the smaller size wide receivers. Brian Thomas Jr. was an absolute monster. He took his stock and I think he's firmly inside that top 15 to 18, where I think he goes to the Jaguars and really just like, that's my ultimate dream, right? Is to get them to get what they wanted out of Calvin Ridley, but get a wide receiver who has that ceiling. Thomas's day, 4.3 340 from a guy who is 6'3", 209 pounds. So, I mean, yes, Worthy at 4.21, absolutely flying. Brian Thomas at 4.33 with another 44 pounds. That is flying for a dude that size. 38.5-inch vert, 10.6 in the broad jump. I mean, this dude is built to be a veteran X wide receiver in this league. Like, he is someone that could really impress. Now, here's my issue with Brian Thomas, right? You and I were talking about it. I see some DK Metcalf, T. Higgins, but there's a non-zero chance that he's the next Quentin Johnston, Denzel Mims, big time, you know, outside wide receiver in college, flashes for 1 year, you know, gets up on the scene and then doesn't quite translate to the NFL. So talk to me a little bit. I mean, were you more impressed with Thomas's 40 or Worthy's? And then let's talk a little bit about Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, these are guys that I had 4 and 5 before the combine and they're staying there now with how good they just performed on the big stage. Size adjusted, Brian Thomas is 40. I know his Ross was like 9.97 out of 10, which is like the 10th highest or like third highest since like the early 2000s out of like 3,000 prospects. So he's like that Christian Watson next level athlete. Mm-hmm. And he's so much better than that Christian Watson, Quentin Johnson type of wide receiver in the terms of just winning downfield, winning in the short areas, tracking the ball over his shoulder, catching the football. That's Quentin Johnson's biggest issue, is catching the football and tracking it. If he could do that, he would have had a great rookie year. He dropped like 3, 40, 50-plus yard touchdowns. So I think that's where Brian Thomas separates himself from those type of guys. And Denzel Mims was just – he just really couldn't separate, and he was a contested catch guy. Thomas is much better after the catch and in the short areas.
I think what we're both trying to say here is they're all individual football players, right? Like Xavier Worthy doesn't have to be John Ross. Brian Thomas doesn't have to be Quentin Johnston. Like these are individual basis. And so many guys, they'll draft a wide receiver at, you know, and we talk about this too, is right now both of these guys are going between 1-8 and 1-10. You're 1-8 and 1-10, and both of these guys were that were when we had on, you know, Fantasy Stock Exchange said that these were the guys that they absolutely loved. But they brought it up, and I agree with them that 1-8 to 1-10, this is a risky area. You know, this is a high risk, high reward. You aren't drafting these guys because they're Malik Nabers, where it's a, you know, a high ceiling, low risk. Like, it's going to happen. Nabers, Harrison, it's going to happen. Odunze, I feel like it's going to happen. One of these two guys, if not both, could pop off. I think Thomas has more of a bust type of profile, but I do think his ceiling will be a little bit higher than Worthy. And I love, right now I have Thomas 4, Worthy 5, and both of these guys right now at that 8-9. And I feel like when you get into it, and we're going to do another pod right after this, which I'm excited to really just compare, would you rather have this wide receiver or that wide receiver? You know, are you selling out of this class? I'm personally loving this area of the draft. You get two guys here that had phenomenal combines. We checked all the boxes at the combine. We checked all the boxes on the tape. Now we get to the NFL draft, and if these guys get top 15, top 20 draft capital, I mean, this is a class that could have five or six of these guys. When we, one thing that I'm really trying to talk to people, listeners are always messaging in, you know, they, I don't want to double count Xavier Worthy and Brian Thomas's speed, right? We knew that it was going to happen. We knew that Worthy was going to be fast. He tested better than what he, you know, what we anticipated. We knew Thomas was going to, you know, he was going to be fast, and he tested better than we anticipated, but we can't double count that, right? Like when something happens that we aren't expecting at the combine, okay, that's something that we really got to perk our head up and say, okay, Trey Benson was absolutely flying. Like that wasn't a speed that we anticipated. So we need to make an adjustment. Both of these guys, we just kind of reaffirmed what you and I believed in them. And I know that's something that you get that question a lot too, is like, oh man, Worthy just ran this speed. Let's move him up in that same area as Odunze or Nabers. And it's like, whoa, chill. We're not moving him up further. We just checked the boxes.
Exactly. It's all about checking the boxes and confirming what you already knew. I'm going to be honest with myself. Brian Thomas 4.33 was not on my menu. I thought he was going to be like a 4.43, 4.45 guy, which I still thought was incredibly fast, for, especially at his size. If you're running in the low 4.4s, you're a fast player. 4.3s, man, especially at that size, that's DK Metcalf type athleticism. Yeah. I know DK is like 220. Thomas is a little bit more slender, skinnier frame, but man, oh man, he's a freak athlete, 38 and a half inch vertical we saw as well. Makes sense how he scored 17 touchdowns and was just effortlessly separating at the next level. Again, for LSU, right? In the highest college football division you can play in, the SEC, Brian Thomas dominated every corner he went up against, effortlessly separated vertically underneath, and he was much better. I think he was like top six in this class in general, running backs and wideouts. From like a missed tackles force per attempt this year, which was crazy for a guy his size. And that was one thing I noticed as a strength for him, was he's making a lot of people miss, and he's picking up those extra yards in short areas that you don't see that from those type of big receivers. So I think he's got a lot higher of a floor than people are giving him. And I know the analytics community was basically out on him before the combine. I have some good friends in there that I talk to about, and I just always preached that Thomas is just different. Like, he's a freak athlete. Kid started playing football when he was in 10th grade. The ceiling, we don't know what it is, but it's really high.
Speaking of ceiling, so we went from a guy that was, you know, 6'3", over 200 pounds, to another guy who is on a different spectrum. Right now, Rome Odunze is someone that we both had as the wide receiver 3 in the class. But sometimes at the combine, we reaffirm things. Sometimes we're shocked by things. He went and he tested fantastic. I mean, you know, he was a finalist for the Biletnikoff, 92 receptions, 1,640 yards, 17.8, you know, 13 touchdowns. We knew what he could do on the field. And he comes out and he runs a 4.45, you know, which a lot of people, when I posted it when I did my thread a couple months ago, I said he was going to run, you know, 4.38 to 4.42. He ran a 4.45. People were like, no, he's a 4.5, 4.6 guy. You know, no, he is someone that I think improved his draft stock as well. 39-inch vertical. You watch what he did on film, a 10.4 broad jump. I mean, three cone at 6.88 at his size was – he was – I don't know if you saw the tape, but he was there for hours trying to break that 6.6. He just kept doing it, which I just love that dog in him where he's someone that is just – I'm falling in love with as a prospect. He reaffirmed what he did. How high do you think he goes in the NFL draft? And did he close the gap between him and Neighbors a little bit more? Or is there still a pretty big gap there for you?
Yeah, I think that three cone, first and foremost, just separates himself as a big wide receiver, that he's nuanced. He's good in the short areas. He can make plays. Keenan Allen's honestly a really, really good comp. He's definitely a more athletic version, and he's going to be a first round top eight, top 10 pick. Version of Keenan Allen, but like DK Metcalf had like a 7.38 three cone. So it's like, that's a big gap.
Yeah. For like the a type Tom of Brady three cone. Can, I remember that.
He's a three down wide receiver. And like Danielle Jeremiah said, it's something that stuck with me and that I absolutely loved this quote by him. He said, Roma Dunze is the type of wide receiver that when you're in that stadium and it's third down, you know the ball is going to him. And that's what separates him as an alpha wide receiver one. There's three alpha wide receiver ones in this class. They're all going to go top 10 in this draft. Roma Dunze, definitely one of them.
Yeah, and I think we've already hit – I think we got some back-end wide receiver ones with Thomas and with Worthy. Another guy that I thought was a pretty big winner from the combine was Adonai Mitchell. I mean, Mitchell ran a 4.34, 39.5-inch vert, 11.4 broad, which is jumping out of the gym. He's one of those guys where he's polarizing, but I think what he showed was some elite explosiveness. We saw that on tape as well. I've moved him up another spot in my rankings, but what are you thinking on Adonai Mitchell right now? Because I think a lot of the community is really divided on what they think of him.
Yeah, he was a guy that I really liked early on in the process, and I just thought I knew he was going to be undervalued. I knew the analytics people were going to be completely out on him because of his numbers. I saw a guy that can consistently win in one-on-one situations, even when he's not open. I saw a guy that had phenomenal body control. He can naturally separate, and he can run really good routes when he wants to. Seems like that's been a thing with him. It's like an effort thing, but it seems like he came out and said that he did that on purpose to kind of save his gas for the entire game. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but this is a guy that I did not think he was athletic as he was, mainly because the yak was really bad. But it almost makes me think like Texas's scheme used Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy in such strict, like limited route trees. And like Worthy was the screen guy and the vertical threat. Adonai Mitchell was the vertical threat and the red zone guy. That was it. There was no in between. Like that's how they used those guys. So it almost tells me like we haven't seen either of their ceilings. Like we saw Worthy's ceiling as a true freshman with a different coach in a different scheme with a different quarterback. We saw Adonai Mitchell as a true freshman performing alongside Jermaine Burton, Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey. So this is the type of situation where it's like these two wide receivers are both pro-ready wideouts. They can both separate. They can both run routes. They can both win vertically. They're elite athletes. I think Adonai Mitchell is going to make it really difficult to not put him at six over Troy Franklin. I just think his build and his ceiling is higher than Troy Franklin's. I think Troy Franklin's more polished, a better route runner, more natural. But I don't know, 6'2", 175 is an odd frame to work with where it's like he's not elite in the like screen game, yak, versatility underneath, but he's not like the best contested catch jump ball winner. So it's like, I think they're both going to be good NFL wide receivers, but I think Adonai might overtake him at six, kind of just ceiling wise. But I don't know. I go back and forth because Troy's profile is just so flawless.
I still have Troy one spot higher, but people have been dogging me about it. I mean, I think you look at him, he comes in at 6'2", 176. You know, he runs a 1.61 10 split, which was the slowest among all wide receivers, which was surprising to me because when I watched him, I mean, you look at miles per hour, he had the fastest run of anyone the entire year. His 4.41 was not bad. I mean, that's solid. I thought he might break 4.3. Like I thought he might get into that 4.38, 4.39. But based off his weight, very similar to what we talked about with Worthy, is he's going to have to win in different ways. When I was watching his tape, I loved him. I mean, production wise, he's up there. When you look at it, he's up there with Marvin and Odunze for production. You know, his production profile is fantastic. We knew he was going to have to put on some weight. I hate that 10-yard split. What he did with the gauntlet was pretty ugly, but I'd still believe in the wide receiver. You know, I think he's still someone that still goes late first round, and I think really after the draft, his stock bounces back.
Yeah, I agree. And where I struggle with Troy Franklin is what's his role at the next level? Like, what is he? Like, I don't see him slotting in as a team's number one ever. Like, I don't think he's the guy that's going to be a
two,
one.
Always. Yeah.
I think he'll be a number two, and I just don't think he's, like, on that Devontae. He's definitely not on that Devontae Smith level. I think he's the guy that is going to be a good number two. He's going to have a couple thousand-yard seasons. He's going to be a good player at the next level, but it's just, like, he's going to have to win vertically. He's going to have to win in that intermediate crosser yak range, and he's probably going to see nothing beyond the line of scrimmage. He's probably not going to see many down in the red zone, like designed, here's your fade at the 3-yard line like Brian Thomas is going to see. So it's just, I struggle a little bit with the ceiling on him. When I'm in that late first round range, I'm chasing ceiling.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to go trade for a Zay Flowers or a Jordan Addison and get a guy that's already a wide receiver too.
And that's what I keep, that's why we're doing that next show, is like, I'm literally, you know, 8, 9, you know, I'm in that area. I might trade out. I think there's a lot of prospects that I like. When there's no running backs that really jump into the first round, and we haven't gotten there yet, but if they do, you know, then I'm like, okay, now I'm interested in this area. But I think you're right. Franklin's going to be a guy who's ultimately going to be a wide receiver too. And I don't think he produces the same way as Jordan Addison, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. I think he's the wide receiver two that's, you know, ends up being a wide receiver three in fantasy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're drafting a guy in the first round, you want him to be at least a wide receiver two. And I've moved him down actually under Ladd McConkey. So now, I mean, his combine at a 4.34 was absolutely flying. So he is someone that when I'm watching his tape, dude can separate like crazy. Now he's going to need the right landing spot, but I think his combine put him firmly in that first round area. And I think it's a late first. And I'm just saying, and I know we talk about this, but could you imagine him going to Kansas City? Could you imagine him going to Buffalo? Buffalo has been needing another possession wide receiver with some, you know, with some juice there. I think there's just a lot of scenarios there where we talk about his production wasn't that great. It wasn't that elite, but you look at his ability to get open, his athletic profile, and I think he might project himself into that same area.
Yeah. My thing with Ladd was when I watched the tape, I thought he lacked winning downfield. Like, he's not a guy that's going to win 50-50 balls, contested catches. He's a guy that belongs in the slot, in my opinion, at the next level. And I think his role is going to be dependent. I've seen Tyler Lockett comps, which I like that comp a little bit. I don't like comps too much with guys like that because there's just so many small, speedy slot receivers. But he's a nasty route runner, man.
Everybody was lazy, right? They were like, oh, it's Cooper Kupp. The Cooper Kupp is number one in FCS in literally everything. Yeah. And he's a big guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it was like I saw a bunch of people, because his size and his speed was the same as Garrett Wilson, you're like, oh, chill. You can write whatever you want, but Garrett Wilson is a top five wide receiver in the NFL skill wise, and Ladd McConkey is not there.
I was in my room and I heard them say that, and I snapped my head around and I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I posted my rankings for wide receivers.
And Garrett Wilson plays three times his size. Yeah. Ladd McConkey can't play like that.
I had a guy be like, oh, you left. Yeah, he's like, you ranked the next Garrett Wilson as a wide receiver six in the class, and I'm like, I thought I was being generous, you know, chill, man. He's not there. He's gonna be good, and I think he improved
our machine in the right system. That, like, if he was in the Lions in Amon-Ra St. Brown spot, there you go. But it's like, he's not gonna be a guy that you stick on the outside and say, all right, go run routes and get open downfield, and I'm gonna throw you the ball. He's a guy that you're gonna want. He's that chess piece. You're gonna want him, get him mismatches, get him on linebacker. Like, there's so much versatility in this class, and there's a lot of smart offensive-minded coaches that need that type of versatility. So I'm excited. I think Ladd, top eight receiver in this class, guy that's going to slot in, elite route runner, really, really solid floor, good athlete. He wins in the short areas. That's what you want to see from that type of player.
Before we move into the guys who I think you know, hurt their stock in the draft. You've been on the platform for Javon Baker everywhere. Talk to me a bit about his combine. You know, let me know which, and we ran a 4.54, you know, which is normally, you know, that's not blazing or anything like that. 37 inch vert, again, doesn't jump out, but it's around that 70th percentile. 10.1 broad jump was the fifth lowest in the class. However, I think he's someone that, you know, like I've moved him up. I know you've been all over him. Talk to me about his combine and what, did it reaffirm what you were thinking, or did you, does he play faster? Does he play quicker than what you saw? Because I think a lot of people really get down on players saying, oh, well, I mean, there's a big difference. You know, like the, Jerry Rice didn't have the underwear Olympics type stuff. Davante Adams, same kind of thing, where they get on the field and they play at a different speed.
Yeah, Javon Baker's a guy I did think was a bit more athletic. I thought he was going to be – I actually projected him at 38-inch vertical. I projected him in the low 4.4s to mid 4.4s range, like the 4.4, 2 to 6 maybe. So definitely a little bit slower than I thought. The 40 is interesting because when you are down in that stance, a lot of these wideouts and running backs, the first thing they do is come straight up, and that's what Javon Baker did. Mm-hmm. You want to stay down and thrive. Like Worthy didn't pick his head up until he was like 30 yards deep. Like he was just missile out of the cannon, like perfect form. It is a bit of a form thing, and it's a good and a bad thing if you look at the 40-yard dash. I just don't know if he was really good at running the 40-yard dash, and I think he's such a more natural athlete on the football field. Like you see him separating so naturally. He's running routes good. He's making plays downfield. Like, the speed's clearly not stopping him from winning downfield. And I think his hands and his acrobatic playmaking ability and his ball tracking adjustments are great. I think he has all the traits to be one of those day two steals, like the Rashee Rice type, the Devontae Parker type. Like Rashee Rice was a 4.5 guy, right? He jumped a 40-inch vertical, but he was a 4.5 guy. So he didn't have that long speed like you would expected. But I think that's a really good comp for Javon Baker because he's a guy 6'1", 202. Prototypical size. I think he had like 79 inch wingspan, which is ridiculous for his size. So that's another good thing. I think he's a very talented player, and I think he's going to get a shot, and I think he's going to be a day two guy just with the pedigree. Played at Bama, transferred, instantly produces at a high level. He wins downfield. He was one of the best players in the class after catch per reception. And one of the things that with him that I really liked was when he's on the field running routes, he's getting yards. His yards per out run numbers, which is one of the most indicative successes to translate for fantasy football, was great. I think he hit 3.0 against man and zone this year. His career was up there with one of the best in the classes. And the thing with Javon Baker, he didn't have good quarterback play at UCF. That didn't stop him. Kid produced day on, day out. So I think this is almost a good thing for us that he didn't have like some crazy Christian Watson type day where he's a massive riser and he goes round two and then we have to take him in the late first round. He's going to be a guy that's probably round two, round three guy in the NFL draft. He's going to probably be a round two, round three guy in your fantasy football drafts, and he could be a steal.
One other guy that I think solidified himself as a day two guy who I think is rising is Ricky Purcell. I mean, like, dude, he went out there, he ran a 4.41. We knew he was a good route runner. We knew he had strong hands, but ran a 4.41, a 10.8 broad jump, and bro, a 6.64 three cone drill. So like he has risen his stock arguably more than anyone. You know, like he has put himself where he is getting closer to a household name, probably somebody that's going to go round two, round three for sure. And I'm starting to pay attention now. You know, like he was that guy that was in that fringe list for you. Now all of a sudden he's moving up at a 4.41 and it just looked like a smooth 4.41. It wasn't choppy. He looked good.
I think he's going to be a day two guy, like you said, probably in that round two to round three range. 42-inch vertical. I mean, the kid has athleticism. I know he's a bit older. I think he's going to be at 24 years old when he's a rookie. You don't like seeing that.
No.
Especially when he wasn't really good until his fifth year at Florida. That was his best year, but there was no quarterback there. And I haven't watched any film on him yet. He was one of the guys I didn't get to, but I did see like during the season that one-handed catch he had. And I watched a few Florida games where I was like, this kid looks like he can play. I think like he looks like Adam Thielen stylistically, and like that could be a comp for him. And Adam Thielen was a guy that like wasn't drafted, or he was like a round seven guy, just so slept on. He's not going to be Thielen, but like that's a decent stylistic comp for him. So he could be like that bigger slot athletic guy that just wins, good hands, good route runner. He had a really good Senior Bowl. That's another checkbox. And he had a really good combine. That's another checkbox. 42-inch vertical. I mean, dude should be in the NBA in the dunk contest, right? Like, that's crazy. 4-4, yeah. 1 speed, 6-1, 190. He's that prototypical slot guy. So I think there's a chance he finds himself a nice little role in day two. And he's probably going to find himself in my top 15 to top 12 rankings too.
All right, let's move on to some guys that didn't help their stock. You know, we talked about Franklin. For me, the biggest faller from this was someone who I thought was going to be a first round, at least late first round, early second round pick. But Keon Coleman comes out and runs a 4.61, which is, you know, that's borderline tight end speed. It's the second slowest out of any wide receiver here. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of flack recently because I've been moving him down my rankings and people are like, yeah, but he produced so well. You and I weren't super high on him before the combine. I'm out right now. Like, I'm at a spot where he is going to have to fall drastically for me to consider him in that second round of my super flex drafts.
Yeah. If he's not in that mid to late second round, I'm not touching him. I won't own a single share of him. I'd rather take shots on some of these running backs, some of these guys that had really good combines, good profiles, and check every box. So I had him 10 before the combine, and I think he's probably still like maybe 10 to 12 for me. I think he's just a really young, raw player, but there's development upside. I don't think he's a great route runner. I think he's flashed his athleticism on field. He was a previous Michigan State basketball player, so he is an athlete. He did that and played football and then committed his full time to football when he transferred to Florida State. One of the things I didn't like about him, I think in like six games, he had less than three receptions for Florida State. So I don't know, man. I comped him to an absolute like ceiling for him. Is like I see him being like rookie Chase Claypool or like a Kenny Golladay, where they're like a 1,000-yard receiver and like 10 touchdowns. Maybe there's a year or two or three of that, and then they fall off a cliff. But I think, like I said, I literally said he could be N'Keal Harry or he could be that type of guy. And I saw this analytic. I think Scott Barrett put it out, and it was just a bucket list of like all these receivers like in the past few draft classes with like his like type of like pedigree and his analytics. And it's like N'Keal Harry, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, like Treylon Burks, all these guys that just weren't good separators. Denzel Mims, another one. It's like the league is shifting. There's a reason why all these big, fast, athletic, contested catch guys are busting, and all the short, speedy, nuanced guys that are chess pieces that you can move around and get mismatches on aren't, because they're throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game now. And there's a lot more pre-snap motion. So Keon Coleman's a guy that's going to need that right situation with an Aaron Rodgers or a Mahomes or a Josh Allen that's going to say, look, I trust you to make this 50-50 ball catch. I'm going to throw it up to you and have you make a play on it.
I think there's a difference between someone being good at in contested catches or a guy, like you said, like N'Keal Harry, who relied on it, you know, where exactly. The best contested catch wide receiver in this class is Rome Odunze. But he still ran at the speed and he's a good separator. Like, that's the difference. Exactly. Where guys like this is what's going
to
happen.
Trust with your quarterback. The quarterback saying, I know you're not open. I'm still going to throw to you because I know you're capable of making this play. And that's what is a true wide receiver one, right?
Tom Brady did not trust N'Keal Harry on a single ball. Yeah, like
he
that.
Said, this guy's a chump. I ain't throwing the ball to you.
So, wide receivers out of the way. The running back class just got shifted on its head, right? Like, it just got turned upside down. You know, you had Blake Corum as your one. I had Brooks as my one. We had, you know, so many people have had different. We had Matt Hicks on, and he had Braylon Allen as his one. And I think it's all just gotten clustered even more after the combine, because you have, you know, Jalen Wright comes out and runs what, a 4.38. Marshawn Lloyd comes out and runs a 4.46. Trey Benson, a 4.39. I mean, these guys were impressive, not to mention, you know, out of the blue, Isaac Garendo running a 4.33. Just, whoa, okay.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. That's where I was like, all right, nobody predicted an elite showing from him. But, man, like, boom. Dude ran – he had a 41.5-inch vert and a 10.9 broad jump.
That's,
I mean, like, he tested
– 220
pounds. I know. The dude tested out like crazy. Jalen Wright, 11.2 broad jump. We knew he was going to be athletic, but ran a 4.38. Marshawn Lloyd, a 4.46 at 5'9", 220. You know, that's 88th percentile for his weight. 36-inch vert at 220 pounds. I'll take that all day. Trey Benson, you know, placed in the 90th percentile for his size at 4.39. You know, these are guys that, like, dude, we have to reevaluate the system. And Blake Corum ran a 4.53. That is not bad. That's kind of what we anticipated.
That was better than I thought.
And I think everyone keeps saying, Dad, who's your RB1? Who's your RB1? Who's your RB2? And I was like, right now, it's completely up in the air still. You know, I think Jalen Wright has entered the conversation with his athleticism. I think Marshawn Lloyd has entered the Trey Benson. Blake Corum reaffirmed things. I think I'm starting to, a lot of people are saying, well, what do you think Jonathan Brooks is going to be like Kendre Miller last year? I think he comes back. They're talking about he's going to be ready in July to start, you know, doing things and might be back on the football field and get some production. I think we can't rule out Braylon Allen. I mean, this class now, I think what they've done is kind of group themselves all into that mid-second round to early second round of superflex drafts, of superflex rookie drafts. I don't think any of them are going to approach day one. I don't think any of them even, maybe one of them somebody falls in love with and they take in the end of round two. But I think we might not see anybody drafted till round three, and that's fine. They're going to be producers, and I think they're all going to be second round rookie picks. And that's why some of these guys that we've talked about, some of these wide receivers we were just saying, are going to fall to round three. So we've been saying go out and buy those second rounders, buy those early threes, because guys I think are going to fall into that area. That's how deep this class is.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it on the head. And that's why I didn't do a pre-draft running back rankings. I watched maybe five running backs before the combine: Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, Bucky Irving, Estime, and who was the third one? There was a Braylon Allen. Those were the only guys I watched, just because that was the list order of the film that I had on them. And that I was just like, we'll just start with these five guys.
Usually running backs are easier to predict. You know, we get into that area. Last year, we knew Bijan was one. We knew Gibbs was two. Yeah. You know, and it was like, okay, this is easy. We got this down pat. This year, they all just kind of are blended together.
Yeah, I watched Brooks too. That was the one that I was forgetting. Brooks and Corum, I knew were going to be in my top five regardless, like pre-draft, post-combine, whatever it is. Two guys, Jalen Wright was another one. I knew he was going to be a top five guy for me. Elite athlete, contact balance was phenomenal on tape, and he was a very explosive rusher and very efficient on Tennessee. I think he was a guy, we knew how he was going to test. 4.38 40. He looks like an absolute, he looks like a ball of muscle out there. Like, he is literally built up. He's a freak of nature. So those three I knew were, all right, those are going to be the top five guys for me. I actually just watched all of Marshawn Lloyd's tape, dove through it, ran numbers on him, kind of graded out his profile. Top three for me. I know JCJ Dynasty, again, I'm shouting you out.
This is the weekly thing. JC, we got to get you back on the show.
We got to get JC back on the show, baby. But he's a guy that has preached Marshawn Lloyd to me. Like, Snoog, when you watching him, I saved it. I waited. I got the popcorn ready, and I loved it. And now he's in my top three. And Trey Benson, that's a guy that we were all super high on into the season. He didn't disappoint, but I feel like we thought he was going to be like that clear RB1 in the class, taking that step. He wasn't this year, only 900 yards, but he scored a bunch of touchdowns, was great in missed tackles, forced per attempt. Elite athlete, proved that at the combine. Another guy falling in my top five. So I have my top five guys in a tier. I'm going to sort through, kind of pick out who I want. I think Blake's going to be number one, like it was pre-combine. Mm-hmm. And I think those five guys I'm going to kind of filter through. Because like Dad, what we're looking for in today's game is we're looking for explosive rushers, guys that are efficient, elite athletes, guys that can run the ball between the tackles and outside, be versatile in zone and gap scheme, and catch the football. And all these guys kind of fit that mold. So that's why those are going to be my top five I'm rolling with.
So you're talking about explosiveness, and you're looking at the raw score of 9.75 out of 10 for Jalen Wright. Listen to this. Jalen Wright ranks 44th. Out of 1,745 running backs to come in since 1987. Three. His 11.2 broad jump, second best ever for a running back. You look at his first 5 yards of his 40-yard dash, and Austin Abbott put some of these things. Make sure you guys follow him as well. Dude, Jalen Wright, 15.16 miles per hour in the first 5 yards.
So his burst is crazy.
More explosive than Devon Achane at 14.94. I mean, this is a 4.38 guy. Yeah, this is like, I really want to make him my RB1. Like, I understand.
Think it's going to be Corum, Lloyd, and Wright are going to be my top three.
I know, and I have Lloyd up there too. I mean, you look at what he did as well, and I think his size is a little bit more impressive. I think Wright is a guy that is going to be a pass-catching machine. And I think we were out on these running backs, but I'm starting to come back in. I'm starting to, like, once we start seeing some landing spots, we start to see some scenarios, just like with the free agents, right? Like, we keep saying, oh, well, if Michael Pittman leaves Indianapolis, then You know, if player X goes there, he's going to thrive. We have so many running back positions open right now where I think these guys are going to be solid contributors. And I think we have five or six of them that, yeah, I'm going to bank on the guy that gets the best. If Corum gets the best situation, I think he's the RB1 because he's the most complete back out of this group. And I think if Wright or Lloyd or Benson get that idea spot, I think because of their explosiveness, because of that, I think they're going to move into that RB1 overall spot. You know what I mean? It's going to be so fluid, and people are asking about it right now. That's why when we do our startup drafts, we do it with rookie picks, not players. Like it can burn you for this one. If you take, you know, a guy like Marshawn Lloyd is your RB1 in this class, in a startup, and then all of a sudden you fall, he keeps falling and falling and falling because the NFL is going to tell us what they think of these guys. And that's the biggest takeaway from the combine is wide receivers. We saw the tape. We saw that check the boxes at the combine. Now we got to see what the NFL tells us about those. And I think a lot of our listeners are confused at that next stop. And I think they got to hit certain thresholds. The wide receivers got to go, you know, we have different bell curves. We want them inside the top 40, then ultimately inside those top three rounds, because wide receivers to go rounds four or later, it is a uphill climb. Running backs are a little bit different. You know, if we get a guy that gets somewhere in that second to fourth round, they could be a contributor right off the bat. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack. I'm excited for the next step in the process because now we got a month and a half to just talk about this, right? We saw the combine. Now it's the draft is next, which is always on my birthday weekend. So can't get a better present than that.
Yeah, that's what I love about this running back class too, Dad, because I just named that top five that it's looking like for me, and everyone in that tiers has a different skill set, right? Like you got Corum, that pure just natural runner between the tackles, quick feet, open short area quickness, can make you miss in a fall booth. He proved that with that three cone and that shuttle, 4.02 and six. I think it was like a 6.63 or something crazy like that. It was 6.823 cone. Like he proved that it was elite on the Ross scale. So I think him, and then you got Marshawn Lloyd and Jalen Wright, who are like the two most explosive rushers in the class with Trey Benson there. And then you had guys like Jonathan Brooks, who was like the most natural pass catcher. And he's the elusive guy that makes fast look slow because he runs like he's Aaron Jones and just doesn't waste any movement at all. So I think it's cool. There's five guys in this class that all play different. They all have that dynamic type of skill set. And I think they're all NFL caliber starters in the right situations. But it comes down to draft capital, landing spot, and opportunity with running backs like it always does. Like Kendre Miller was a guy that I was super high on, RB3 in the class last year. He went fourth off the board in a stacked running back class. Day two, third round, early third round. Didn't have a combine, didn't have a pro day. Still went fourth running back off the board. But he got put in the Saints where we knew he wasn't going to get much
play time. And that's what everybody was attacking me with Brooks. They're like, how do you have him as your RB1 based off of what happened with Kendre Miller last year? And I said, I don't think it was Kendre. I mean, yeah, they wanted to ease him in, but they already had Kamara and they had Jamal Williams, and it wasn't a necessary thing right off the bat. I think we're going to get production from Jonathan Brooks, and he ends up arguably being one of the best values in this draft if he goes, you know, third, fourth round to a position where he's behind, you know, like to the Bengals behind Joe Mixon, or, you know, he goes somewhere where he's seems to be on paper behind someone. And then by next year, just like Kendre Miller's value has gone up and he's done nothing. You know, it's just that the idea of what's going to happen. Garendo is one that I think we definitely need to jump into, because you look at a 4.33, a 41.5 inch jump. I mean, and he's big, right? Like I had to look into it a little bit. A big body runner, play over 810 yards and 11 touchdowns. I mean, he's 6'2", 221. I'm interested. I got to start. You have to put him into your top 10. You have to at least start looking into it. But every year we have these athletic guys that pop off, and then you're like, whoa, there wasn't much production there. You know, we got to like try to get that out there. So this has been a fun one. I like talking about the combine, but I don't like to, you were texting me all week and I'm like, I'm the OG. For me, the combine's like, all right, they're still checking the same boxes. You know, like let's not double count anything. Let's kind of take it with a grain of salt. It's part of the process. You were super excited, and with all due respect, because this class is so athletic, I'm with you. So it's definitely made those 2024 firsts increase in value. Our next show, we're going to compare those 2024 firsts versus players that you can buy right now, which is one of the biggest things I've been doing on Threads lately, is like, oh, all right, you don't like the 108, you know, maybe Worthy's not your guy, trade for this guy. And this is a wide receiver that's going to go in that same range. So I'm excited to do that. Anything else to close out here before we move into our next pod?
Yeah, I just want to say for everybody listening, don't think you have it figured out yet. None of us do. The NFL does weird things. All it takes is Adonai Mitchell to get drafted to like the Eagles or something stupid like that. The Eagles aren't taking a wideout, but that was just an example of something that would blow up the world. And then he's not getting any opportunity, and it's just a weird landing spot, and it's taking time. So don't think you have it figured out. Don't say, oh, I have the 108, so I'm getting Brian Thomas Jr. What if Brian Thomas Jr. went 12 to the Broncos and he goes 107? And yeah, now you get the QB that went to the bad landing spot or something that fall. So much is going to happen. Just kind of have an idea of your tiers. Pick out the guys you want to target. Adjust with that. Get draft capital, but don't trade draft capital. That's the key. Wait till draft day.
That's where I've kind of reaffirmed. I am 1 through 6 we've known about. Right now I have 7, 8, 9 with Odunze above, but I think that's a tier. And then I think, you know, 11 and 12 are another tier. I feel like we've kind of separated the tiers a little bit. We want to move into those areas. But be fluid with the process, to Snoog's point, is like we're not saying we're getting these guys now. I think 1 through 7 is pretty darn chalk unless we get JJ McCarthy goes to the Falcons then you're just chasing. But it's going to be fun. It's part of the process.
Yeah, and when I'm doing these type of tiers and stuff, I'm thinking about the skill set the player has and how can that be used in an NFL system to translate fantasy football success. So it's like, I think Brian Thomas Jr. can be a double-digit touchdown guy and hit a crazy ceiling. That's why I'm going to take him over a guy like Troy Franklin, who's a bit more polished, but still will be an NFL player. So keep that in mind. We're chasing ceiling here. We're trying to win championships, not come in third place. Let's get rolling. I could set the 40 and still finish for SMA.
My guy, Anthony Machka, said he could start the 40 right now, which was 9 minutes ago, and still finish before Audric.
We knew what SMA was going to be. He's going to be a two-down banger between the tackles. It don't matter if he runs a 4.9 or a 4.4. His role ain't changing.
I love those kind of comments. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. Boom. Still not RB1, though.